blind man's faith. He had a faith that withstood ridicule, scorn, and derision. Bartimaeus could see the truth that most others could not see, and he wasn't going to let anyone stand in his way to secure a blessing from Jesus. Let's open with a prayer. Father God, thank you for this day when we can gather in your name. As we think about faith, open our eyes and minds to hear your words for us. Amen. Well, Jesus had been traveling toward Jerusalem. This is his final trip around the countryside. He knows that now he is going to his death. He began his ministry by saying that he had come to restore sight to the blind, and he ends his healing ministry by restoring sight to a blind man. In this story, we see him being merciful to the blind man. Well, Jericho is Jesus' last stop before Jerusalem. This is the same Jericho that Joshua's troops had marched around and brought the walls tumbling down. Jericho had been continuously inhabited for almost 3,000 years. This day, there are large crowds following Jesus, joyous crowds. They had seen him heal many people. They had seen him feed multitudes and had heard him preach by telling stories. Soon, Jesus will ride into Jerusalem with the crowds shouting, "Hosanna," and "Hallelujah," and "Son of David," and waving palm branches. It will be a joyous parade. But in less than a week, these same crowds will shout for his death. But today, we will look at Bartimaeus and his story, because it's a perfect story of persistent faith. We know some things about Bartimaeus. His name means son of Timaeus. We don't know his history, though. How did he become blind? Was it an accident or disease that blinded him? We know that once he could see because he shouts to Jesus, "Let me see again." And we might wonder if he had a home to return to, or who had taken at least some care of him, feeding him once in a while. But Mark doesn't tell us any of this. We only know that this day Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road begging. Since he is blind, that's about all he can do. The dust and dirt from everyone walking by would have surrounded Bartimaeus and settled on him, and he would have been aware of this dust and the crowds around him. But Bartimaeus was aware of a whole lot more than the dust and the crowds. He knew that Jesus was in town, and he knew who Jesus was. But now, suddenly, Jesus is leaving Jericho and would be passing right by Bartimaeus. He knows he has to act fast. He has to attract Jesus' attention if he is going to experience healing this day. So he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, notice Bartimaeus is not saying, "Jesus, Jesus, please help me, please help me." Bartimaeus calls Jesus, "Son of David." No one else had ever called Jesus, "Son of David," and this means Messiah. This is the title for Messiah. So Bartimaeus must have known that Jesus was the Messiah. But the crowds don't like this beggar shouting for Jesus. The townspeople don't like noisy, rowdy beggars bothering important people in their town. So they tell him to be quiet. "Quit your yelling. Be quiet. He doesn't want to talk to you. Be quiet. The crowds don't see Jesus as the Messiah. They are blind to the truth. But their dismissal just makes Bartimaeus shout and cry out even louder. His faith tells him that Jesus can and will heal him. And Jesus does hear his call for mercy. You see, Jesus was and is and always will be attuned to cries for mercy. Maybe the fact that Bartimaeus called him Son of David made a difference too. Jesus must have realized that here was someone who knew who he really was. Anyway, he stops in his tracks and says, "Call that fellow over here." Well, the crowd suddenly does an about face. Now they encourage Bartimaeus to go to him. And here's the good part. Here's the part of the story that I like so much. The crowd turns to Bartimaeus and says, "Get up, he's calling for you. Go to him." And what does Bartimaeus do? He doesn't slowly struggle to his feet and shuffle over to Jesus. No, Mark says Bartimaeus throws off his cloak, springs up, and runs to Jesus. I can imagine that he practically skids to a stop in front of Jesus. Because Bartimaeus, in his perfect faith, knows that Jesus can restore his sight. A wonderful picture of extraordinary faith. Then Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see again," Bartimaeus shouts. And so Jesus did restore his sight. In this healing story, Jesus doesn't touch Bartimaeus. He doesn't put mud on his eyes. He doesn't tell him to go wash in a pool. He simply says, in a literal translation, "Go, your faith has saved you." Apparently, Jesus' healing is twofold. He has restored Bartimaeus' sight, but he has also granted him salvation. He has gone from being a blind beggar to a follower of the Son of David. Luke says that he followed Jesus, joyfully glorifying God. The ending to this short story is a celebration of steadfast faith. So, Bartimaeus had this persistent faith. What kind of faith do we have? I'm sure that we all have faith that the sun will come up in the morning. It's not going to fall out of the sky. And on August 21st, it'll become dark, but it'll again shine for us. And we all believe in gravity. I don't imagine any of you think that you're going to float up out of your chairs. We know that we are pretty well grounded right where we are. We might call this kind of faith worldly faith. But I'm talking about Christian faith this morning. We know that God is completely faithful. We are totally dependent upon this faithfulness. Because he is faithful, our sins are forgiven. We have help in times of trouble. We know salvation and the assurance of eternal life. Every aspect of the Christian life rests or depends upon the faithfulness of God. Psalm 45 tells us that the Lord is faithful to all of his promises. Actually, if we think about it, the entire Bible is a witness to God's faithfulness. Everything God does is a testament of his faithfulness to his people. So, if we want to be God-like, we need to exhibit faithfulness. Just as our youth knows that love is a noun and also a verb, faith is not only a noun, but also a verb. We are made in God's image, so we must have some faith when we are born, but we need to grow our faith. God wants it to grow and develop. A child's faith is nurtured by seeing the faith of his parents, by seeing the faith of his pastor and his Sunday school teachers, by learning scripture and by singing the songs of faith, and by seeing his church work out its faith in the world. This makes faith a verb. The writer of Psalm 40 tells us how to make faith a verb. He says, tell the glad news of salvation. Tell how God has helped you. Don't keep it a secret. Speak of God's faithfulness and his steadfast love. All good ways to increase our faith. But I think faith can be rather elusive at times. You can have it one minute and not the next. We see this most vividly in the Apostle Peter. Remember that time on Lake Galilee when Jesus was walking on the water and he called Peter to him? Peter thought he could walk right over to Jesus. But as he climbed out of the boat, what happened? What happened? He sunk. I'm supposed to hear a big crowd say, he sunk. Thank you. He would have drowned if Jesus hadn't reached out his hand and grabbed Peter and saved him that day. We might ask, where was Peter's faith then? Peter's faith also failed him when Jesus was being accused in front of the Jewish leaders. Out in the courtyard, Peter was accused of being Jesus' friend. His faith was nowhere to be found. At that moment, we know that he denied knowing Jesus three times. But Peter's faith wasn't the only faith that failed. Most of the other disciples ran away when Jesus was being crucified. But after the resurrection, their faith grew and developed and fairly exploded at Pentecost. And Christianity was taken into all the world. Well, faith can ebb and flow for all of us. It seems hardest to have faith to depend upon God's goodness when troubles seem to overwhelm us. We start to rely on ourselves sometimes, and our faith becomes like a small flame. But the more we rely on God, trusting in his love and care for us, the stronger our faith can become. We know that God rewards our faithfulness. In Matthew, Jesus tells of the servant that increased his master's assets. The master replies, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." This servant was faithful to God, and God was pleased. But faithfulness also includes being faithful to one another. Actions to others are what make the word faith a verb. You see, it's kind of circular. The more we work doing acts of faith for others, the more our faith will increase. Today, we will celebrate communion. The first communal meal in the upper room was a meal of love. Jesus wanted his followers to always remember his sacrifice done in love. The bread and wine were symbols of this sacrifice. Later, as the disciples and followers came together for this holy meal, they would remember Jesus' loving sacrifice for them. As they celebrated this meal, it was one of the ways that they lived out their faith. Celebration of this meal has been a constant in every Christian tradition throughout all time. But this meal is not just a remembrance of Christ's life. It is a time when we experience the living presence of Christ. Our faith tells us that we can bring our pleas for mercy, our petitions for forgiveness, our joys and our sorrows, all of it. We can bring it to the communion table because Jesus is there waiting for us in merciful love. This celebration is one of the blessings that Jesus left his followers. He knew that we would need this time with him. As we come together this morning, let it be a time when our faith tells us that Christ is near and that he will hear our cries for mercy and that he will touch our hearts with love. Well, we began with a beggar's story, a blind beggar's story. We saw Jesus recognizing Bartimaeus' extraordinary faith and pleas for mercy. And so Jesus did restore his sight and granted him salvation. Bartimaeus approached Jesus in faith. As we approach Jesus in faith, as we come to his table, as we make our faith a verb, our faith will grow. And it may become an extraordinary, enthusiastic faith like Bartimaeus. May it ever be so for each of us. Amen.